Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. And that's as far as reading in Matthew 19. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why are children so important to the life of the family? Well, the answer is children, in many ways, are the future of the family. Children carry on the name of their forefathers. Why are children important to the church? In a similar vein, children of believers are the future of the church. But why are children important to Jesus? And that's the answer, that's the question they're going to answer today. The fact is, we live in a time, in a culture, where there is a very low estimation placed on children. Children are often seen as an inconvenience. Kids stand in the way of personal happiness for many people. The rationale is this: children cost money. Children consume that disposable income. If I have children who use my money, I have less money to spend upon myself. The fact is, I was doing some research, according to Intuit, parents can expect to spend around $20,000 per child per year on average. $20,000 per child per year on average, and that's not counting a Christian education. So, as the Sato family has probably already experienced, there's going to be more diapers, more trips to the grocery store. There's going to be more cost. Added to that, if you have children, your vacations are going to look different. The cars you drive are going to look significantly different. And it's for that reason that many people, many couples, many married couples have chosen to not have children at all. Children will cramp their lifestyle in their own opinion. But having children is an act of faith. Having children forces you to look to the future, that you are making an investment, even as our psalmist would say, as we sang together, blessed parents, blessed by their children in the future. God's people see children differently because we desire to see our children as God sees our children. Even as the psalmist says, children are a heritage, a blessing from the Lord. They are a gift, a reward from his hand, Psalm 127 puts it. Well, since children are a reward, a heritage, a blessing from God, then we should view them and treat them as such. Something which is not only a blessing, but a blessing from God, and to be returned to him. So today we are going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ welcomes his little children into his presence. That's our theme. Jesus Christ welcomes his little children into his presence. And at first point, then, we are going to look at the context of this invitation. Our focus is in Matthew 19, if you still have your Bibles open. You look in verse 13, Matthew 19, verse 13, these children were being brought to Jesus that Jesus might bless them, lay his hands on them, and pray for them. Now, the children, in this particular context, the emphasis is that these little children are brought, they are carried, they are led by the hand. So we can imagine these would be infants, toddlers, those who would be carried and brought to Jesus. Now, the motivation that these parents had is a good and godly motivation. They're bringing their children to see Jesus. More than that, they're bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. They're bringing their children into the presence of true blessing. But as these parents know, the blessing that their children need is not something that they can give. The blessing that their children need is not something that parents can give them. It is something that Jesus Christ alone can give. So the fact remains, parents, you cannot change the hearts of your children. Your children will never be born again by your work, by your merit, by your effort. But it is also true that it is your God-given duty to put your children in the context in which Jesus Christ has said, that's where I do my work. It is your God-given responsibility to bring your children to sit on Jesus' knee, to lead them to the place, to the context, where faithful teaching and spiritual blessings are dispensed. So it is that we pray and we bring our children, we put them in positions where they might hear the good news, because they wanted, and we want a good thing. We want our God to bless our children. These children were treasured by their parents, and they wanted Jesus to do two things, to put his hands on them and to pray for them. Now, normally placing your hands, it's not really a cultural thing that we do, but it was very common for fathers to place their hands on the heads of their children and pronounce a benediction, a blessing upon them, particularly at the end of their life. It was passing on the heritage to their children. Laying your hands on the hand and the head of another is a sign of identification, acceptance, and blessing. So many patriarchs, think Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, placed their hands on the heads of their children as they pronounced covenantal blessings. But the blessing, the heritage that you as parents can give your children is small compared to the blessing that Jesus Christ can give. We may be able to pass on to our children a little earthly wealth and wisdom, but the true blessing that our children need is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. When Jesus Christ opens His arms, embraces them, makes them His own children, that is where true blessing is found. So Jesus Christ, it was the desire of parents for Jesus Christ to bless their children and to pray for them. Now, one of the mediatorial works that Jesus Christ is performing is that He is interceding. Jesus Christ is sitting at the Father's right hand, praying for His people. And here, in this particular context, parents wanted Jesus to pray for their children. So, godly parents will pray for their children. I'm sure all of the parents here pray for their children. But we need Jesus to pray for our children. We need Jesus to bless and pray for our little ones, to soften their hearts, to stir them to faith, because Jesus is interceding for them at the Father's right hand. Indeed, as the Catechism says, from the right hand, Jesus Christ is praying and pouring out blessing. And one of the principal blessings that Jesus Christ pours out on His people is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who softens hearts and opens eyes to see what is true. So the context is that we have these parents bringing their little children, these infants and toddlers, to Jesus, wanting Jesus Christ to bless them and pray for them. But as these parents come forward, motivated by a godly desire with a good request, someone stands in the way. Something interferes. Verse 13, the disciples rebuke them. The disciples are acting like spiritual bouncers, if you will. Only the powerful and important can have access to Jesus Christ. The disciples hinder these children from being brought to Jesus Christ. They frowned upon it as an imposition. You see, the disciples saw Jesus Christ as being very important and very busy. Jesus Christ has important work to do, and that important work was teaching and healing. To stop that work, to play with kids, for them, didn't make sense. So these disciples scolded the parents. These disciples tried to drive the little lambs away from the good shepherd. They tried to bar the way. In their mind, the disciples thought that Jesus had better, more important things to do, because Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem to go to the triumphal entry. It's right around the corner. So the disciples think they know best. They have the right to determine what is the best use of Jesus' time. As you know, children can make things complicated, and children can make travel difficult. Inserting children into the equation makes everything take longer. And the disciples don't want Jesus hindered. But Jesus responds to his disciples with a gracious invite. Jesus responds to the action of his disciples by saying this. Verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Positively, let the little children come. Negatively, don't stand in the way. Don't hinder them. Do not forbid them. Do not rebuke these parents. Do not refuse them access or deny them from bringing their little ones. One of the things we learn very clearly from the ministry of Jesus Christ is that he is willing to associate with the lowly. He delights to have dinner with tax collectors, prostitutes. No one is too lowly for Jesus to associate with, not even little children. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 18, previous chapter, see to it that you do not despise these little ones. It is not, this is Jesus, Matthew 18, it is not the will of my Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus is keen on welcoming and embracing little ones. So how should we as a church view little ones? I praise God that here in our church we delight to see kids. We love to see children at church because that's where they belong. We want the little ones to be in the place that Jesus wants them, on his lap, in his presence. If Jesus would welcome and embrace children, would we do any less? Would we say that church is only for the grown-ups, for the mature? That we would exclude children from the corporate worship? Surely not. Granted, nursery can be an aid to help parents of really young children, but the fact remains, the church should be the place that not only is welcoming, but delights and encourages children to be brought forth. That delights to see the next generation present and participating in worship. And that's really what baptism is reminding us. Baptism is a reminder that not only we, but our children belong to the Lord. And since they belong to the Lord, he has right of access to them. They belong here. He has a claim upon them. And children, you need to remember this. If you've been baptized, Jesus Christ has said, you are mine. You are my child. You don't belong to the world. In fact, I claim you and I gave you to Christian parents. My seal, my sign has been impressed upon you. My promises are for you. The promise of forgiveness of sins for all those who believe. But as a church, praise God, we love seeing kids. We love seeing them run around. We love hearing them sing before church, Sunday school. We embrace and we fully support families within the church. Praise God for that. But we can take this principle of apply it, this principle of welcoming, and apply it to the church context as a whole. There's something we can learn about evangelism here in Jesus' teaching. When Jesus says, do not hinder them, but let them come, What we can learn is this: the church should be a welcoming place for everyone. Not only is the church to avoid hindering people, like we don't lock the doors, we don't stop people from coming in, the church should have its doors open and welcoming. We should actively invite people to come to Jesus. As the parents brought their little ones, we should bring our friends and our neighbors to see Jesus. The church is not a social club reserved for a select few, where only people who are well-dressed, wealthy, where you need to know a special handshake in order to be in the right crowd. The church is to be a welcoming place. We want people to come here. So we should say, bring your children here, parents, but also bring your neighbors here. Let the lost sheep come. There are still empty seats at the table. So let the church be filled not only with the children of believers, but filled by all who are lost. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for everyone whom the Lord delights to call to himself. The warm, inviting nature of Jesus Christ cannot be missed here in our passage. Now, why would Jesus go about inviting children to come to him? Why this reprimand against the disciples for standing in the way? Well, the basis for this invite is found in verse 14. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for, and here's the basis, to such as these, we could put in there, for to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is Jesus saying when he says that to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven? Well, there are two main ways or two main directions that this verse can be applied. First of all, when we look at the children who are being brought to Jesus Christ, these are the children of believers. These are the children of believers. These children are covenant offspring. The parents have heard the teaching of Jesus, they believe in Jesus, and then they bring their children to be blessed by Jesus. These are not the children of the rebellious who have denied, rejected, and persecuted Jesus. But those who have heard the voice of Jesus, believing in Jesus, and trusting that Jesus can and will bless not only them, but their children. Just as the covenantal blessing was passed on from parent to child by way of hand placed upon their head, Jesus is linking these little ones to the kingdom of heaven. So what do we know about the children of believers? Well, 1 Corinthians 7 says that the children of believers are holy, meaning they are set apart. They are marked as belonging to God. The children of believers are holy. Malachi 2 says that one of the things God is seeking from a Christian marriage, from a godly marriage, is this: he is seeking godly offspring. So one of the consequences, the normal consequences of a godly marriage is godly offspring, and that's what God is seeking. He is seeking for a return on his investment, if you will. So your marriage is what God has invested in. He's given you a portion of the Spirit, and he wants a return on that. He wants godly offspring. If the Lord blesses you with children, that is a return on his work. So there's a clear thread in Scripture that is linking the children of believers to the covenant. So have we witnessed here today, not only has Luke and Sasha received a daughter, our church has received another member by way of baptism. We have a baptized member added to our church. So that's the first direction that we could apply this passage. The second direction takes the little ones in our passage as a metaphor for the needy and the weak in humanity. Jesus says this, Matthew 18, verse 2. He says that we all need to turn and become like a child. Only then can we enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to have faith like a child, or a childlike faith. Not just the children of believers, but all humanity must turn from their sins in humility and embrace Jesus Christ with a heart of faith. Depending on Christ, looking to Christ as a child looks to his parents for their every need. The fact is, spiritually speaking, we are all dependents here. We are all like these little children that need to be placed on Jesus' knee. No one climbs up into the lap of Jesus. No one takes Jesus' hand themselves and places it on their head. We are all as completely dependent and helpless as these little babes. Spiritually speaking, we need someone to bless us, to bring us, the Spirit bringing us to Christ. The reality is we and our children cannot save ourselves. But praise God, he looks on the lowly, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, pouring out his blessing and praying for us in our hour of need. So the second way in which this passage can be applied is the little ones to which Christ is here speaking of is those who are weak in their sins, poor and needy and wretched. Seeing that Jesus Christ is the only way that we can find blessing. To conclude, Jesus Christ is known for associating with the low and humble. Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Here Jesus is showing a gentle, lowly heart. He welcomes these little ones into his presence. He takes up little lambs in his arms, blesses them, and prays for them. Praise God for our compassionate Savior, who is never too busy to receive our little ones and to receive us, looking upon us in our lowly state, that he would embrace us and call us and our children his own. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the compassionate Savior, that he was not too busy or in too much of a rush to stop and bless these little ones. And we thank you that he continues to embrace us and our children, praying for us and pouring out his Spirit upon us even this day. May the compassionate nature of our Savior move us to see our children and the lost in this world as needing what only Christ can give. And help us look to the Good Shepherd to provide for all of our spiritual needs. In his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response.